Mighty fine, mighty fine. I want to draw your attention to these wonderful flyers that we have for the story. And I want to encourage you. We've got a whole stack back there. You've got some. Take them to your business. Take them to your workplace. Put them in places where people will be able to get them. And by all means, take some in your car. Hand them out to people as you see them. Because the greatest invitation is going to come from you. It's not going to come from anyone else. It's going to come from you personally. So I want to encourage you to think about doing that. Want to let you know there's more adult stories over there for anybody that hasn't gotten one yet. Make sure that you get them. We also have some the children's books as well. So make sure you do that. So let's have a prayer this morning as we begin. Father, we join the angels and all the saints around your throne right now, and we cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who sits on the throne." We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is, the one that was, and the one that is to come. You're the ever-present, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, we give you glory for how you are working amongst our church family. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our new families here, for Bill getting baptized this past week, for all the good things that you're doing amongst us. We give you glory for how your Spirit is working among us. We ask, Lord, that you continue to teach us, continue to be glorified in everything that we do. Father, we're nothing, we're absolutely nothing without you, and we need you. And I ask that you speak through me today. Use me, Father, as weak as I am. And I pray, Father, for you to be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. We love you, Lord. And teach us today how you guide us, how you're working in our lives day in and day out. We love you so much, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You should have an outline nearby, so make sure you grab your outline. Don't be alarmed at... That looks like a lot of points. We're going to run through them very quickly, but you'll see why I'm taking you where I'm taking you, because they all build on one another, and there's really one powerful point to make today, and it kind of builds, and I'll let you know when that comes, the point we're trying to make today. What decisions are facing you right now? I don't know what you've brought into God's house this morning. I don't know what you've brought in. Maybe you're facing a decision about a job. Maybe you're facing a decision about your children, or I don't know. We all have critical moments in our lives where we desperately need to hear from God. Lord, what do you want me to do here? What should I do? Have you cried that out before? I have. We all have reached points when we have asked God for help and guidance. What scriptures promise divine guidance? It's interesting, you look at several. Psalm 23, verse 3, He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. Notice in Psalm 25, Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Who then is the person that fears the Lord? He will instruct him or her in the way chosen for them. Notice God wants to guide us. God says, yeah, I want to guide you. Guide, Lord, guide me in your truth. He says, I will instruct you in the way you should go. Proverbs 3, a very familiar passage to a lot of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. A promise of guidance from the Lord. Today we're going to look at the calling of Moses, which to me is just a wonderful moment in the Scriptures. As we continue following along in the story, we're going to ask this question: how does God guide us today? He guided Moses, He guided Abraham. How does He guide me? I want to tell you at the start of this that inspiration for this comes from the Experiencing God workbook, which is written by Henry Blackaby, which is the best-selling Christian workbook in the history of Christianity. It is, I'm not big into workbooks, I'm not big into, but this is excellent. I strongly encourage you, if you want to get something that will really bless your life, Experiencing God is a powerful workbook to go to run through. Last week we talked about Joseph. We looked at his story and what happened and how we can learn to trust God when life makes no sense. Joseph taught us some powerful principles that God is in control in our midst. What happened after Joseph died? And we want to look here now, and if you got your story, by the way, turn to page 43. We're in chapter 4, and we're just going to read here a little bit from this first section here. What happened after Joseph died? Well, it says here, now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. It's interesting to me that this was already in God's plan. He told Abraham, your people will be a people in a foreign land. They will be slaves for 400 years. God has a purpose in this. And it's interesting, I love in Exodus 2, verse 23 and through 25, Israelites groaned in their slavery. Can you imagine after 400 years? Their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. This is a great truth here to understand that God not only hears your prayers, he's concerned about you. He's concerned about your life, which kind of helps us understand the first point in all this. God is always at work around you. God is working in your life every single day. As we're going to see, God is in the preparation business. He's in the preparation business. He's preparing you. He's preparing me. He prepared Moses. Was it any accident that Pharaoh's daughter found Moses? And was it any accident that he was raised in royalty in the Egyptian household? Acts chapter 7 tells us something very interesting about Moses. Moses was trained and educated in the Egyptian ways, meaning he had an Egyptian education. He learned how to read. He learned how to write. Do you think that would have came in handy for him later? Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Whom did the Spirit work through? Through Moses. So you see, God is in the preparation business, not only in Moses' life, but in our lives as well. What is God preparing you for? You remember that job you had? Remember that annoying job you had a few years back? Remember you couldn't stand to go to work every day and you're like, these people are driving me up the wall. Why am I here? And you got frustrated. Remember that? God was working in that. If you are following Jesus Christ, if you say, I am surrendered to the Lord, God is working in your life. Your life has purpose and it has meaning if you are plugged into the will of God. And yes, God was involved in bringing you to a place to prepare you for something later down the road. How do you know that job that you went through wasn't something that, you know, now you realize, boy, I'm glad I went through that really bad, that job that really annoyed me. I mean, really glad, because it prepared me for what I'm doing now. We have those aha moments in our lives a lot. When Moses was 40, he's still in Pharaoh's household. But he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave one day, and he, you know the story, he kills the Egyptian. Thinks nobody knows, but it's known the next day what happened. What does Moses do? What does everybody do in a midlife crisis? He flees, he runs into the wilderness where he becomes a shepherd for the next 40 years. Most of us would look at that and say, boy, that is just wasted time. Why would God make him be in there for 40 years? Man, because Moses not only needed to be humbled, but also needed to learn how to guide 2 million people in a desert. So this is like God's basic training. And God takes him there to help him learn. I'm sorry, retirement is not an option for followers of Jesus. Moses was called when he was 80 years old. And I'm sorry, saints, but you are the most powerful witness today. And I believe retirement's in heaven. I don't think you should say, well, God's done with me. I have nothing else to do. I think I'll just retire and go to the beach. And no, I want to challenge you to say, my best years are ahead. The best things are going to be happening in the future. And I want to challenge you today to ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? Because there's nothing more powerful than an older saint that loves Jesus and is following Christ with all their heart, and they're still serving. And I'm proud that my daughter has some women here that are powerful witnesses to her. She needs to see older saints that love Jesus, that are serving. So don't give me any of this, I'm going to retire. Retirement's in heaven. Look at it that way. Yeah, you'll rest there, but let's work. We still got lots to do. Plenty to do. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though it was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. When God says a name twice, you better get ready because God is going to use you powerfully, Tim. When God uses your name twice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, there's lots of instances. Jacob, all wonderful opportunities where God calls people. Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. It wasn't holy because, you know, it was a particular land. It was holy because God's presence was there. This is a very common thing in desert life. Flames would burst bushes would burst into flames many times. It wasn't an uncommon sight. What the issue was, it didn't burn up. So that's what attracted Moses to it. Hey, what's going on here? It's not burning up. Let's find out. God pursues a relationship with us. Not only is he working all around us, he is pursuing, relentlessly pursuing in the story as we see from the garden. He pursues us. And God took the initiative. God said, Moses, I want you on my team. I want you. Just as he is his sought us and searched for us. God got his attention. And my question to you today is, how has God got your attention? What burning bush has God used in your life? Has it been a trial? Has it been a medical problem? It's amazing to me how we can go through life on autopilot and everything's going great and da-da-da, and then the trial comes and we suddenly realize we're not in control. We realize the bush gets our attention. Lord, what are you trying to say in all this? God will use it. God's pursuing a relationship with me. The bottom line is, how can we possibly know where he's guiding us if we don't spend time with him? In prayer, in study of his word. That's why I love this, because it gets us in his word. It gets us seeking Him. And it gets us finding out what He wants us to do with our lives. God is always at work around us. God pursues relentlessly because He loves you. He loves you. He wants that relationship. But thirdly, God invites us to be involved in His work. It's His work. It's His church. It's His ministry. It's not ours. This is God's ministry, God's church. And He invites us to be involved in it. Listen to how he invites Moses. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Yes, He is a God who cares. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go. I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people. I'm inviting you to become part of what I am doing, is what he's saying. How does God invite us? How does God involve us in His daily work? I believe with all my heart that God invites us through divine appointments, daily divine appointments. What do I mean by that? You're at work and you're minding your own business. Somebody comes up to you and starts asking you, hey, what's this story thing? What's this all about? I see you reading that book all the time. What is that? That's God's invitation to you. He's saying, come on, I'm working in that person's life. Come on, come on. I need your help today. Yes, God will use you. God doesn't call qualified folks. He qualifies the called. All He's looking for is an available person. A person that says, yes, Lord, what can I do for you today? So at work, there are divine appointments. I believe every day. I don't believe the people you are working with are any accident. You are God's representative there. He needs you. He needs you to be holy. He needs you to stand out and say, you know, I want whatever you got. I want that, Anthony. I want that in my life. You're different from everybody else. At school, can you imagine if somebody came up to you and started asking you spiritual questions? Where do you go to church? Who's your youth group? Those are God's invitations to you to say, hey, come and be involved in what I'm doing. God's at work every day in our lives, at the grocery store, at Walmart. I don't know how many times y'all have been at Walmart and got into some spiritual conversation with somebody. I'm like, I didn't come to Walmart to get into a spiritual conversation with somebody, but it always ends, a lot of times it ends up like that. Because there are divine appointments. God needs you. And He just needs to work through us. He invites us. And here's the truth I want to share with you that changed my life and changed my entire perspective of ministry. We sit here and we plan things. Let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. Without sometimes realizing we're missing opportunities to join God in what He's already doing. Let me give you an example. When we were in Tanzania, we were at a place called Kabahoro in the city of Mwanza. It's an area of town there. And we had been, one of our Christians was living up on top of the hill there. And that is, you can't really see it very well, but the guy in the red there is Petro. He's one of our evangelists that we trained. And what was really cool is we went over to this Christian's house, and we thought we'd start a church over in this area. And we were inviting people, and nobody was coming. I thought, man, what's going on? So one day we were just walking down the hill, and this lady said to me, she said, hey, what are you doing with that Bible there? Well, I said, we're going up to this top of this hill, and we're teaching about Jesus. She goes, why don't you come underneath that tree there? I bet you get a lot more people if you come underneath that tree. Hello. God's invitation. And I saw God working in it. And I told the guys, I said, let's do it now. Come on, let's do it now. And sure enough, we had 80 people show up. And they just were curious. What's that guy talking about up there? And a church began out of all that. Look for and join God where He is already working in your life. He is working all around you. if we will just open the eyes and start, hey, he's working there. Our focus should be on what God wants us to do today. Today. Not the future. We say, what's God's will for my life? Who am I going to marry? What's the future job I'm going to have? Don't we? We want to know. We're constantly looking over God's shoulder. You know, what's going to happen? I'm telling you today that you need to focus and stay in today and not worry about the future. Why? Because God is already in our future. He is the great I am. And I love this passage from 2 Peter 3. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. God is above time. God is the great I am. He was, he is, he will be. He is present with us, just as much as he was present with Abraham and Moses. And that little diagram there, he was there at creation, creating time for us. He was there with David, with Jesus, 1776, 2013. God is above time. And our minds struggle grasping that. But that's what that means. 1,000 years are like a day, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. Moses said to God, suppose I go up to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am has sent me to you. I am simply means God is eternal. God is unchanging. God is ever present with us. That changes your entire outlook on life. If you know God is walking with you through that trial, he will be with you in that surgery. He will be with you during that divorce proceeding. He will be with you every step of the way because he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am. It's a powerful truth. And Moses, I think, really learned that in a powerful way. Are you worried about what's going to happen? Are you worried about what's going to happen in 5 years? What's going to happen to our economy? What's going to happen to our country? Where's it going to be 40 years from now? God is already there. Don't worry about the future. It is in his hands. He is I am. You think anything is too hard for God? He has seen it all. And he can deal with the pharaohs in our lives. He's already there. So stop worrying and focus on today. Lord, what can I do for you today? I want to join you in what you're doing. So he's always at work. He always is pursuing a relationship. He is constantly inviting us daily to be involved in his work. And he's already in the future, guys. We don't have to fear anything. God spoke to Moses. God speaks to us. He spoke to Moses. He speaks to us today. First of all, through the Holy Spirit, and understand it's the Spirit working in all this, God speaks to us through the Bible. People ask, what is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? The New Testament is God's will for our lives. You know, the loving God and loving the neighbor and following Jesus, those are all parts of God's general will for our lives. Now, if we're seeking to do that in our lives, God is going to guide us daily if we're seeking to put him first in our lives. If we're seeking him, he will guide us daily. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Are we all stubborn? We know what's best. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we learned very quickly, if we had just listened to God, things would not be the way they are today. God only speaks through the Bible. He speaks through prayer. You know, and it's often in prayer that we begin to sort out God's direction for your life. Hasn't that happened to you? Haven't you been praying and suddenly you realize what the answer is you need to do? And I believe with all my heart God's Spirit is working in that. God also speaks in our circumstances, both good and bad. And we learned last week in the life of Joseph, he speaks in our circumstances. He's speaking to you today through both good and bad. Now, the issue of circumstances, what if it's a decision-making situation? For example, you get two job offers. You ever been in a situation where you had two job offers? And you're like, what should I do? What should I do here? Here's a principle that I think is very important. When God gets ready for you to take a new step or direction in His activity, it will always be in sequence with what He has already been doing in your life. I think that's a general, true principle. God can break that, okay? But I don't think very often He will. What He's doing in your life. For example, when facing a decision that is life-altering, okay, you're seeking God about this decision. You know, I have found it important to identify the spiritual markers in my life. The spiritual markers are times of transition or decision when you clearly knew that God had guided you to the place that you went. For example, you know, I've been in ministry for 22 years. I've been a Christian for 22 years. I started working in prison. I worked in the jailhouse in Murfreesboro, teaching men about Christ. That prepared me to work in the ghetto down in Mobile, Alabama, to work with inner city ministry, to start an inner city church. God prepared me in inner city to prepare me for Tanzania and Brazil, because we dealt with the same kind of problems, a lot of the same kind of issues that people in the inner city face in those countries. And God clearly opened the door here at Forest Mill for our family. I believe with all my heart, you can ask the elders, that conversation we had via Skype in March of 2011, I felt the Spirit of God's presence. I felt connected. It just seemed right. It connected. Now, wouldn't it have been strange if God would have said, okay, Chris, I want you to be a brain surgeon now. Well, that kind of doesn't fit in the what you've been preparing me for, Lord. It'd be kind of funny, though, wouldn't it? Now, I believe God calls missionaries. Some of the neatest missionaries I've met in my life were, I met two veterinarians in West Africa who God called to be missionaries. And they were awesome church planters. So don't ever say, you know, oh, I can't be a missionary because I'm doing this. No, missions is a different deal. But look for your spiritual markers. Times when God has worked. Sit down and put them together. God speaks not only through circumstances in the Bible and through prayer, He speaks through people as well. Sometimes God will send you a person that will confirm His direction for your life. Hasn't that happened to you? Where you're trying to figure out, you know, Lord, what do I need to do here? And so a friend of yours came in and said, I think you should do this. And it was like, oh, well, that makes sense. God speaks through people. Look at Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. In other words, truth is established by two or three people. So therefore, ask God to send two or three people into your life when you're seeking to make a decision. Ask Him to send some people into your life that will confirm His direction. You'd be amazed how God answers that kind of prayer. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Oh, that's wise wisdom. We need people to help us sort through things. And God often uses people to speak to us. So we've learned He speaks by His Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and through people as well. So what happens when God invites us? Well, God's invitation to us to work with Him always leads to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Moses, immediately when God confronts him, what does he pull out? What does he say? I can't do it. He gives five different excuses. I'm slow of speech, which probably means he was a stutterer. I got a speech impediment, Lord. Well, Lord, send someone else to do it. He did five different times, and the Lord was very patient with him. But Moses was in the ifs, ands, and buts mode. You got the wrong guy. I'm not the guy, Lord. The Lord says, yes, you are. You are the right one. And I will be with you, Moses. I will be with you. We pull out the excuses, don't we? I'm not qualified. I'm unworthy. Join the club. We're all unworthy. But God works through weakness. God loves to use weak people to accomplish His purpose. And that's exactly how we react. And I think God likes to invite us to help us mature. He invites us into impossible situations where you say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And He's like, yes, it's exactly right. I can, though, through you. That's the way God works. So those challenges that come to us where we say, I can't do it, you step back for a minute and start at praying and asking God, is this something you want me to do? Because if normally God doesn't call us to something we can do on our own. Oh, that's easy. I can jump into that. God will call you to something that's hard. But He wants you to mature and to grow in that situation. I think God invites us to do the thing we can't do because He often tests us. He's testing our faith to see if we trust Him or not, and to mature us, to help us grow up. He takes that in Goliath, that big sumo wrestler guy, and puts us in front of him and say, go get him. We're like, what? You must be kidding. My question that I've wrestled with this week is how many invitations has God given to us that we've turned Him down? How many invitations has God invited us? You know, I'm sorry, Lord, I just don't have the time right now. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I've got too many things going on today. Listen, let me tell you the truth. God likes to interrupt your day a lot. And I think He likes to show us, hey, I invited you to that. Why didn't you come? And He keeps inviting us and keeps inviting us. Let's learn to begin to say, yes, Lord, I will. I will. Time is created for me. You've given me time. It's my gift back to you. Moses faced a crisis of belief. What am I going to do? Go to Egypt and face Pharaoh, face my fears, face my past. You know, you got to admire him. He was very reluctant, but at least he decides, you know, I'm going to trust God with this. And that's what it boils down to with us. God is inviting you to be a part of His work. We just need to decide whether or not we're going to trust Him. Here's some practical advice as we close today. When you're facing a decision, when God is in something, generally two things happen. Number one, there's peace. There is peace. You just know that you know that you know. Everything is just good. If there's anxiety, you may want to question if God is really in it. When God is in something, generally, another thing is everything flows. I mean, if you have to force, if you have to force the horse to get into the, come on, get in, you better start asking yourself if you're forcing your own agenda on God's. We like to do that, don't we? Put God's stamp of approval on it. I'll do this, Lord, and you put your stamp of approval on it. And saying, what can I do for you? Secondly, I think it's important when facing a decision that you don't make rash decisions. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to wait. Take your time with it. Thirdly, stop looking over God's shoulder. Bloom where you're planted. We're so anxious for the next, what's next, Lord? What's next? That we miss what He's doing around us. Fourthly, be open to something you haven't considered. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It may be something totally off the wall. It may break that deal with the spiritual marker thing. I don't know. But be open to it. Because opportunities that come out of the blue sometimes are from the Lord. I think we need to weigh that and pray about that. But be open to it. For this week, chapter 5, we're looking forward to next week. And tonight, do you want to be part of the greatest show on earth? I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about, do you want to be a part of the greatest show on earth. If you want to be a part of it, tonight at 6, we're gonna talk about that. And on Wednesday, we're going to look at the issue of the Song of Moses and is anything too hard for God? We're going to have a prayer now, and I'm going to ask you to stand, if everybody could stand. And I don't know about you, but I need to pray and ask God to, I need to surrender my life to God afresh today. Do you? I need to. And I think we need to ask God to help us be a part of what He's doing this week. Help us to join Him. So I'm going to pray. If you would like to pray, you can repeat after me, okay? But let's all pray together as we lift up. Father, I surrender my life to You today. I am available. Help me fulfill Your will for my life. Fill me more with Your Holy Spirit. Open my eyes to see how You are working all around me. Help me join You in what You're already doing. As a part of the body here at Forest Mill, help us join You in what You're doing here in Manchester. We will do whatever You want us to do. Guide our shepherds in all the decisions they must make. Father, I pray that You will guide me and my family in all the decisions we must make. May every decision be led by Your Holy Spirit and be in accordance with Your perfect will and plan. I trust You. Father, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. In the strong name of Jesus. And all the church said, amen. Amen. If any of you would need prayer today or you're interested in becoming a follower of Jesus, Tommy's going to lead us in a song. Why don't you come as we sing this beautiful song.
Jehovah, pilgrim through this valley.